Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Comedian Sam Morril and the news are going to hang with us for a very funny half. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They're all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
I love kids. I do. I tried to join the Big Brothers program. I was rudely rejected, but I gave it a shot. They don't get my humor. I made it to the third round, and the woman was like, what's a bad example of a Big Brother? And I thought she would laugh if I was like, you mean like a child molester? And she did not laugh. She said we were looking for, like, impatient. I was like, I thought we were playing high stakes. She was like, what are you going to bring to the Big Brother program? And I said, patience. Because that's the opposite of pedophilia. The willingness to wait.
Sam Morril on the Adam Carolla Show.
There we go. Good to see you, Sam.
Thanks for having me, man.
Sam's going to be at the Beacon Theater in NYC this Saturday, May 7th. And also there's a documentary out called Full Capacity.
Yes.
That is streaming on YouTube right now. And I want to know, on his YouTube channel, I should say, it looks at the reopening of a lot of these workout rooms, comedic workout rooms, after COVID. So let's get into that. I was a Catholic Big Brother, by the way.
Were you?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. I can't believe I got a pedophilia joke on a late night set either. That was pretty crazy.
Oh, that was what show
was that? That was Conan.
Wow.
That's like,
good on you.
I know. They were so chill.
I don't want to ruin the illusion for everyone, but did you try to be a Catholic Big Brother?
It wasn't. I mean, I'm a Jew, but it was just Big Brother.
Jewish Big Sister?
I tried, and they were like, no. I really did make a joke like that, and they were like, what do you get out?
Do they need is your young ward Jewish if you're a Jewish Big Brother?
My younger brother, would he be? No.
No, with the guy, the kid you get assigned to you, would he be a Jew?
I don't think. I think it was just the Big Brothers. I think I would have taken a Mexican or whatever you want.
Oh, yeah.
I'll Big Brother any kid. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I just, man, I don't see a lot of stray young Jewish kids around, I guess is what I'm saying. When I do, I cross the street.
I give them a little can of tuna. That's right. I do. Yeah.
So, yeah, I went through that whole interview process. And I remember that that's me and my Catholic little brother, Nate, when I was like 29.
Look at that.
And they said, how often do you think about sex? And I was like, well, we got to count now, right?
Yeah,
because you brought it up. But
yeah.
I didn't exactly know what that meant because it's really hard. Like every time you pass a billboard with a hot chick on it, like, is that?
Does that count? What are the parameters of this?
I just figured that was code for how often do you beat off.
Yeah.
So I just said three times a day.
Those are great numbers.
I didn't. And then when they said, do you do drugs? And I was like, I was thinking to myself, like, sometimes. But then I thought, that's probably not what they want to hear. But then I thought, well, wait a minute. Like, they need me. You know, I mean, this is not a job interview. I'm not getting paid. So I said, I don't do drugs, but if I'm at a party and there's a joint going around, I'm in.
Yeah.
And I think they liked my honesty.
Huh.
So they signed me up.
I told them I do a ton of coke and heroin, and they were like, not interested.
Not
but
interested.
I don't think they appreciated my honesty.
Yeah, your candor in that point wasn't
It was
wasn't
a bummer.
Embraced.
Yeah. But
so let's talk about the doc.
Yeah, sure.
So how did you go about this? Like, what inspired it?
It's like you realize that stand-up is a mental illness. And during the pandemic, like, what I first started was I did a rooftop special because no clubs were open in New York. So
right.
I was like, what I would go out to do stand up, but it would there were literally shows are like it's on the D train, it's the last car. I'm like it's right. It's a hostage. This is the taking of Pelham 123.
Right, it's in the parking lot. Right.
Yeah, so it's like you're doing gigs that are they're just hell gigs. Like these are gigs we would have never done. Before. But I'm getting calls from my agent like it's a parking lot. It's
No, they don't. Well, you can't hear them laugh, but when they honk their horn and flash their brights, that means they approve.
It's horrible. Yeah, so I was like I don't want to do that. So I started going out doing shows like on the East River, just weird. There's literally you have a homeless guy jacking off like 3 feet from you. I think he was a Big Brother too. And but yeah, it was terrible. And every gig sucked. One gig, a guy just walked up and pissed as I'm doing jokes like 3 feet from me. I'm like, this probably wasn't worth leaving the house for this 10 minutes. So I realized to build a new act, I needed to be doing an hour. So I just started going on Instagram. If you got a rooftop, I'll do stand up on your roof. Just get a mic and amp and some booze. Yeah, mm-hmm. So this is what we did. Roofs. We just kept going. Different night. Every night I was at a roof, mm-hmm. And it was awesome. I never want to do it again. But it was, at the time, you're like, this is fucking incredible,
right?
So
you're like the Beatles.
That's right.
Yeah. It wasn't exactly like the Beatles. I mean, there were some nights that were, I mean, just grueling. I mean, something would go wrong every night. That was a problem. Mm. Like they'd be like, oh, we don't have outlets. I'm like, cool. You guys know we need a mic, right? I can't just acapella this shit. So that was rough. And then we had a drone camera, which, by the way, like a lot of no-fly zones in New York. So we couldn't have a drone because we wanted these cool city shots when we were doing
right.
it. And then, it turned into like really the best thing, just a bunch of people getting drunk on roofs and laughing. Yeah. It was amazing. But then, you know, once I put this out as a special, it was called Up on the Roof, people were like, come to my roof. I'm like, no, that's fucking done. I'm never doing this again. This right. is over. So then Full Capacity was the club's reopening. That was like, I wanted to document it because it's like, I'm going to look back at this in like 15 years and be like, this was the craziest shit we lived through.
Well, New York was probably shut down as much as a city can be shut down, you know, save a couple places in China and maybe Los Angeles, but that was totally shut down.
Yeah.
And the clubs were all sort of all had the strikes. You couldn't really move it out to the sidewalk. You couldn't do what they, I mean, all the things they didn't want is what was in a club was windowless. It was a bunch of people clustered together was the lap, you know, they wouldn't let you go to church because you'd sing in church and you were too close to parishioner that was next to you. The club is all the stuff they don't want. And then it's New York.
Yeah.
So it's got to be the last venue to open.
It was tough. It was really – I mean, we were going crazy.
Did you go out – like I just went out. I'd just go to Houston or Florida or whatever, just whoever – Nashville, just whoever would accept you.
Yeah.
Sometimes at half capacity. Did you just – hit the road and go to the cities that were open?
Not at first, but yeah, at a certain point I was like, I need it. Yeah, once I could really start touring, I went every week. And yeah, it's you're like, wow, a lot of dates in Florida this year.
Yes.
I got it in Orlando, and I'm lucky that's all I got in Orlando. But holy shit, I mean, Florida, West Palm, Orlando, Miami, and you're like, yeah, this is we've got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, Texas was – I think Texas was the first place.
Yeah.
I went. So how long were the New York clubs closed down?
I think they reopened for real in April of last year, and it was heavy. It's like all these people you haven't seen in so long. There's so many casual comics. So you're like, I'm not super close to this guy, but I care about this person. It's nice to see them. So it was emotional to see all these people again, for sure.
So did you go out with a crew and document it, or did you document it yourself?
Yeah. No, I had a guy, Matt Salicuse. He directed Up on the Roof, and he followed me for The Cellar, which, you know, you feel like such a jerk off showing up to the club with cameras. Literally, we haven't worked forever. I've some comics being like, get that fucking camera away from me. I was like, sorry, you know.
I know you're one of the first successful guys to put your special up on YouTube, and I'm glad to see this sort of ladies doing it for themselves instead of everyone sort of begging to get Netflix to air their shit.
Yeah.
Or HBO or whatever, that people are just going to these other platforms.
I don't think anyone even watches stand-up on HBO anymore. I think that's like a 90s thing at this
point.
You are HBO now. You're just like, what? I remember I went in for a meeting there, and the woman was like, my son's a big fan of yours. I was like, well, maybe he should run the network.
So tons of views, tons of success on your YouTube channel. Is that kind of the new world order for you? Or
yeah,
if Netflix
amazing.
Comes calling, you'll go to them?
I'll never rule anything out. I mean, Netflix is a new audience. I think it's all great. I'm weirdly grateful. I remember when HBO passed on my special, I was so upset and I was just like, oh man, maybe I'm crazy, you know? And then I put on YouTube and I got this. The special I pitched is like 10 million views on YouTube. So it never would have gotten that on HBO. So you never know which way shit is moving, really. I mean, you think one thing is horrible and then the landscape's constantly changing, right?
Why do you think HBO passed?
I don't know. I think they just have a more, you know, artsy type of feel of the special, and I'm kind of like more of a road guy. I think they kind of want something that's a little more of like a one-man show for the most part, and that's just not the style of comedy I do. I'm kind of like a joke.
You doing 28 minutes on pedophilia is not something.
Hey, you left out the 8 minutes on trans and 4 minutes on abortion. So
I would. It's not bad saying, but I met with a network not too long ago, and they like, you know, they asked for my thoughts on comedians who I thought would be worthy of specials, and I named a few people, and their main concern was, well, would they be able to get on Live with Kelly and promote it? You know, and
yeah.
I'm sorry, like one of the funniest comedians out there besides Sam is Tim Dillon. And Tim Dillon, unfortunately, sure. is not going to be able to get on Live with Kelly, or he's not going to be on Fallon being able to promote a special. So they look for that.
So meaning they wouldn't be – Fallon wouldn't be interested in booking him, or that he's not going
to play the game.
Work well yeah. in that environment.
I think it's more of Tim Dillon is not a Fallon type of comedian. You know, it's not going to be – their content doesn't do
right.
well
I mean,
on that
is,
show.
Is yeah. it sort of a right-left kind of political
No, I don't
thing?
I don't think at all. I think it's a comedian's like – I don't think it should be political. I think it should be the comedians are kind of just shit stirrers and they yeah. kind of – and if you're going on a show like Live with Kelly, you're kind of playing the game a little bit, right?
Yeah.
It's a different type
no,
of thing.
No, I agree. It shouldn't be political at all, but yeah. I think it's kind of become sort of political, and I think that's part of the problem. At least I know Tim Dillon. I know yeah. his style. I feel like they're basing it a lot on sort of content versus just is this funny or isn't it funny. Brian,
we've seen the same thing in the publishing industry. Like first time authors are having a hard time getting book deals or whatever because they don't have a platform. That's like the biggest thing. They don't care what the book's – I mean they do, but they don't really care what the book's about. They don't care how long it is. They don't care about – they want your platform. How are you going to promote this book?
How many Twitter followers? How yeah. many Instagram followers? That's a big sure. thing right now. It's like you don't get jobs because your social count isn't as high as someone else's. And then yeah. it's like, oh, you're out.
Well, but I'm actually saying both things. Like I'm saying like it is based on your followers, but it's also I'm writing a book called Fuck Transgenders. Now I'm going to go down to New York and go to a big publishing house. And
you should focus group that title.
It's not – they're not going to publish that book.
But you know what? Like Sam, you're special. How much did it cost to make when you did yourself?
It wasn't expensive. It's not – I mean to shoot a special you know, through friends and you know they have the equipment, it wasn't that expensive.
And
I'm going to shoot my next special on my own too. I mean if I sell it, I sell it. But I also – I'd be happy not to. So I think it's also great to grow your just personal page. You have direct access to the people who want to see you, and you have no – you don't need to be dependent on networks. I always hated the idea of being like, I'm submitting. It's like, right. Well, who the fuck are you?
Right.
You're not a comics know who are – you know, who's funny. But these people are just – you know, some of them have good taste, and others are just like trying to save their job.
Yeah, there is a – kind of conceit that I think most people have, which is if you run the comedy division at HBO or Netflix, then you must have been the funniest person in your high school.
Right.
Oh, contrary. Those are some of the least funny people, and then they have to sort of vet your funny, and it's hard to do something if you don't speak that language. Like, how do you know this is better? And then you start getting into this realm, like we talked about before, which is, well, I don't really know which is funnier, but I do know what's more diverse or who has more mm-hmm. followers or whatever.
And we can quantify that.
We can quantify that.
Sure. And you know, it is actually good. Like, you could get bitter or you can kind of do your own thing. I mean, look at a guy like Shane Gillis who gets, you know, fired from SNL. And then it's like, would he be this popular right now on the road? If he was on SNL, maybe he wouldn't be used as much, you know? So
right.
there is a kind of beauty to taking it back and doing your own thing. And Shane's sketches were hilarious on YouTube. So
I would argue you can be bitter and do your own thing. I've been doing that for 13 years. Super bitter, independently bitter, autonomously bitter.
No, it's true. I mean, look, if it, whatever fuels you, if you use it right, man, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, when do you write well as a comic? It's like when you have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder, I think. So, yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
Adam, you do stand-up, right?
Yeah.
Where do you do stand-up, mainly?
Based in the city. Sam and I kind of started off together. Sam's doing some big things. He's doing The Beacon. I'm still running around. I'm just doing about 5 shows a week, just around the New York comedy circuit.
Is it bustling now? Is everyone back? Is it hotter than it was before?
It's definitely – I would be interested in Sam's take on this. I think the crowds have been great, especially during the weekdays, like shows that you don't think would be as full. Like they're packed. But there's some comedians who are still nervous to come out, which is surprising. And these are big people. Like
Patton Oswalt. Who else? Names.
Oh, really?
Some people. Well, I go. Okay, let's try to break this down to different stratas. There are people that were worried about COVID, like mm-hmm. legitimately worried about their health and COVID. And then there were people that were somewhat concerned about their health and COVID, but mostly concerned about how concerned they thought other people were about COVID. And then there was me who didn't give a fuck because I'm not a pussy and I'm going to live my fucking life. And so you never know if someone is legitimately scared of this thing or likes the sort of pretense of it and wants people to think they're taking something very seriously. So I don't know who really believes it. You know, the guys at Occupy Wall Street, a lot of them were legitimately down with the cause, and then there were guys trying to get their dick sucked because they thought this would be a good move for them and their man bun. And I think we never really know in that drum circle who was really there for the cause and who was just trying to get blown by some chick because they were trying to convince them they were down with the cause.
I'm scared of COVID because I'm trying to get blown.
That's a Reese's peanut butter cup.
And I'm working on the man bun. I have a Jufro, so I don't think it's going to work. But no, man. Have you ever heard that? I get a lot of that. I look like I'm related to you. Have you ever heard that?
Oh, related to myself?
Yeah, I would get like, is Adam Crowley your dad? I get a lot of that. Have you ever gotten
that? I guess I could say grandpa, which probably
no.
No, but I should. I can. Well, if you look at a picture of me with my Catholic little brother when I was 29, I think
I could see a little
it's
bit.
I think there's something features, there.
So. Yeah.
And so, also, there's a kind of a nasally drone.
Sure.
And there's an abrasiveness that rubs society the wrong way.
I mean, I'm flat, and I definitely don't look that good. So that's I'll take that. Sometimes they'd throw in Adam Carolla with Down syndrome. I'm like, just say Adam Carolla. So, how about that?
Well, life has come full circle because Jimmy always called me Pete Sampras with Down syndrome.
Oh, there we go. I feel like this just keeps knocking down
this
one level.
Worse,
So I bequeathed my Down syndrome title. Right, a fresh, young Down syndrome.
Like it follows.
Adjacent comedian.
You're shredded, dude.
Oh, that's me when I used to teach boxing. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's 1 week ago.
Yeah.
Looking good, man.
Yeah, well, when all you do is construction, teach boxing, and you're poor and you can't eat, it keeps the pounds off. But the second you transition from boxing trainer into morning show radio sidekick, you add a couple of LBs, It's just a more sedentary gig than there's. I didn't get paid much when I was a boxing coach, but you essentially got paid to work out. You just show up and, walk everyone through everything. And then when the class was done, you were just there.
Free gym membership.
Yeah.
Like you never had an excuse. Now you get up, you go, I should work out. And then you go, oh, man, my schedule's really fun. But if you're at the gym and you're in your trunks and you're already sweaty, what is your excuse?
Those are some impressive abs, dude.
Yeah, you look great.
I was poor. I really couldn't. I couldn't afford to
poor
eat.
Abs.
Poor abs.
The best abs.
You shredded.
Yeah. Well, it's a great. All right. Let's stop seeing pictures. it hurts me, but I do look like Sam. Or no, Sam looks like
a little
me
bit,
because you're younger. And I'm glad that you get the me with Down syndrome?
Yeah.
So you have Down syndrome. Okay. So yeah, in the Pete Sampras case, I have Down syndrome.
That's what I'm saying. This is like a totem pole. I'm at the bottom, I feel like. This is very...
Well, we should go talk to Pete Sampras. Because maybe Pete Sampras is like, my friends always called me Elliot Gould with Down syndrome. You know, like maybe there's a whole hierarchy, and then we could talk to Elliot. Yeah. Oh, you have Elliot. You guys want to talk to? Elliot Gould was one of the most scintillating interviews I've ever done.
Oh, was he good?
In a podcast. Well, let's see.
Correct.
These are his answers.
I'll ask him some questions.
Elliot... what was it like working on the movie MASH?
I don't care.
All right, but certainly, I mean, you went to the Oscars in 1979. That must have been quite a day.
Don't you know anything about it?
That's all he did said
Damn.
The entire time.
Yeah. I loved Elliot Gould, man.
Not anymore.
No? You're anti-Gould now?
Well,
fine, thank you.
I can't remember, Brian. Was it just seemed like a goof, or
we theorized after the fact that sometimes guys who aren't comfortable doing interviews kind of pick a path, you know what I mean, to get an angle, and his angle was to be a little detached or ironic or whatever. And well, they have this.
Yeah, he was like, you'd go like, so you dated Barbara Streisand in the 70s, and he'd go, yeah. What's your question? And it was just like. It was just weird.
You're like, tell me more.
But it turned into its own kind of bizarre experience.
Always.
Well, there he is.
Damn.
So,
no, I don't think it is.
Is there some young, fresh comedian under you who could then look like you with Down syndrome? Jeez. So we could pass that off?
We need to find him on Twitter, guys. Who is the uglier version of me? Do your research.
And this guy's got to be in his 20s, right?
Yeah. Mm.
So back to New York to do the
Beacon. Yeah, I'm taping the Letterman thing on Friday for Netflix, which should be fun. It'll be exciting as hell to
What's
meet.
The Letterman thing?
You do 5 minutes of stand-up, and then you sit on the couch and just shoot the shit with him in a theater. It should be awesome, you know?
Is that the what's his special called on Netflix?
I forget.
My next guest?
No, it's a new version with – it's me and five other comics.
Oh, interesting. So what's it called?
I don't know. I'm not organized. They sent me a thing like, we asked for a transcript of your jokes on Monday. And I'm like, who do you think you picked today? You think this is what comics do? We right. sit and transcribe jokes. We're fucking worthless.
Don't you know anything about it?
Elliot. So
I could have been a little more curt with her if I wanted to go the Gould path. But
so the format is you and four other comedians will do
this. I think five, yeah.
And you go out and do... 5 minutes?
Five minutes, late night set style jokes, and then mm-hmm. I'll just tell some stories, I guess. I don't know.
And then he'll call you over to the sofa, and you'll sit down for how long, do you think?
5 to 10, probably, and we do two shows, so hopefully we can get something decent in two shows.
And it'll be on Netflix.
Yeah.
And that's kind of nice to be chosen to do that,
Sam,
right?
Sam did Letterman, didn't you?
I've never did it.
Or you did Colbert, or which one did you do?
I've done Colbert, Conan, Corden, and maybe that's it. Oh, Fallon once.
You might be one of Colbert's first comics.
A lot of sex. yeah, but I always wanted to do Letterman. I was always a big fan.
I remember being at Colbert the day you did it. Do you remember that?
No.
But you were like one of the first comics to actually do
I was the first non-famous comic to do that show. It was like, I think it was like Seinfeld, Maria Bamford, and then me. And it was fun. That's when he was still there. He doesn't stay for the sets anymore, which I think is kind of strange.
Who doesn't?
Colbert.
Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't.
He does like five comics at one. Like he just introduces them, and then they just do like five comics.
Well, no, he's not there.
He's not there. Yeah, no.
They cut it in post.
So they like gang tape comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I...
Remind me of Gilbert Gottfried.
I would hate to get gang taped.
I've never did the Tonight Show with Carson, but I did do Letterman a couple times, which was... But not as a stand-up, just as a panel or whatever.
How was it?
It was surreal because I used to, you know, when I was 18 or 19, just watch them, you know, in my garage or my dad's house in North Hollywood, you know, just, one day, you know, New York City, you know. I mean, it was, you know, I grew up, you know, about as humble as you can grow up. And I was
Letterman
fan. Let me finish my fucking story, Elliot.
Shush.
But so it became sort of surreal when I, you know, when I was doing construction and a boxing coach and stuff, you know, 3.5 years earlier, it hadn't been that long. And all of a sudden I'm doing Letterman. And then to really confound things is like I was going up and then James Brown was coming on after
me. Oh my God.
And I was like, why is James Brown after me? And they're like, because that's the way they format it. You know,
wow.
And I was like, James Brown. It's the Godfather of Soul. Like he can't come on after me. And it was like, that's how we're doing it. And it was pretty surreal.
Did Letterman come to your dressing room before the show or after to say hi or?
No, he did not before or after. And I was even there with Daniel Kellison, who I did the Man Show with, who worked for Letterman for a decade and was, at least as Daniel describes, a sort of star segment producer. He would produce all those segments when the guy'd ride out on a horse and all that. That was all Daniel's stuff. And evidently left on great terms, and him and Letterman were good friends. And he was scared shitless to go up to Dave's dressing room after the show. And I thought, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign for Letterman, because he was sitting in my dressing room and he wanted to know whether he should go up, like it'd be okay to go up and say hi. And the person who was like the segment producer was like,
no, I don't think it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, maybe, maybe not. And he was like, ah, fuck it, let's go eat. So he was scared shitless of Letterman.
Did you meet James Brown?
I must have met James Brown. I mean, I was on stage when he was on stage. I probably during the commercials went over and shook his super sweaty palm. I mean, he just, you know, he's the hardest working man in show business.
Legend, dude.
Working a sweat. But yeah, it was definitely surreal, but
yeah.
glad I did it before he retires.
Yeah.
So I can tell my kids and they won't give a shit.
You want to talk some more?
What was that, Elliot?
Oh, Elliot thoughts.
You want to talk some more?
No, I'll talk to
you. I feel like Conan was my was like our guy for my, you know, generation. We all love Conan, you know, because he kept it so funny. So many late night hosts now, they kind of have like a message, and I just love how escapist Conan's monologues stayed. They were just like pure jokes. They were just silly, you know. I loved it.
So the show, it's called That's My Time with David Letterman,
and it's
going to be at the Fonda Theater.
How is that?
This Friday, I guess you're taking.
Yeah.
But the Fonda, not the Henry Fonda out here. There's a New York one, or are you doing it out here?
No, they're fucking killing me on these flights.
You're going back?
Yeah, 6 a.m. I'm popping a muscle relaxer on that second taping.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And wash it down with something,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, a cocktail.
All right.
Molotov.
You want to hang out? We'll all just sort of gangbang the news here.
Please.
All right. Let me take a second first and hit sponsor. LifeLock, all an identity thief needs for a shopping scam is your name, mailing address, email, and phone number. With that, they can start an online store account with their own shipping information. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cyber criminals could harm your finances and your credit. Good thing there is LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they will send you an alert. You'll have access to a dedicated restoration specialist if you become a victim. So get LifeLock and protect yourself, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to lifelock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
All right, Adam and Dax are going to gangbang the news.
Yeah, we are.
Sam and Brian will be hanging out. We'll do that right after this.
And now, the news with Adam Glenn and Dax Holt.
Ooh, it sounded so fancy. All right. Met Gala was last night. I don't know if you guys are into this. Super, you know, stars showing up wearing ridiculous outfits. Not really my thing. However,
next story.
Next.
Kim Kardashian showed up and she was wearing Marilyn Monroe's dress from JFK's 1962 birthday. The
really?
One that Marilyn sang happy birthday,
exact,
Mr. President.
Was it the
yes.
exact same dress?
The exact same dress. They went, apparently this dress has been housed at Ripley's Believe It or Not down in Orlando.
Wow.
Kim and Pete went down there, picked up the dress, and did a whole fitting. It's like a $4 million dress. She had to lose like 16 pounds to get into this. They've got the whole thing documented. Couldn't get over her butt. That was the whole thing. But here's the thing. So
we can't get over her butt either. It's no. awesome.
So
I showed up in Monica Lewinsky's dress once. Uh-huh. It was a very different reception. It was what I would call it cold.
So she gets the dress, but what a lot of people didn't know is she gets to the red carpet and they have a makeshift dressing room for her. Mm-hmm. She puts the dress on, walks the red carpet, gets all the photos taken, and then they have a dressing room up at the end for her to take it off. And mm-hmm. she puts on a replica dress because they didn't want that dress being on her for the whole night because it's so such a big, big deal. So she was only in it for the moment that she did the red carpet.
Yeah, historical artifact.
It's kind of cool. I don't get very impressed with all this fashion stuff. Mm. This is kind of a cool moment. I can't believe she got her hands on it.
It's interesting. I just watched half a doc on Marilyn Monroe on, I think, Netflix, which is
The Lost Tapes or something?
Running. Yeah, the Lost Tapes of Marilyn Monroe. Now, they're all doing that thing now where they're going, she was a great actress. It's like,
come on.
All right, I get it. You like her and she's dead, but that doesn't I like my grandfather and he's dead. That doesn't make him a great actor. You know what I mean? Everyone goes from this, you didn't think, and then at some point they turn into great actors or great comedians or great. Well, we've seen their acting.
You can praise someone, praise them for something worthy.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? She was iconic. She was glamorous. She
can make a fucking Denver omelet like nobody's business. You know, something a little more practical. You can't. Don't do the acting part. We've seen that. Yeah. Do the one we can't prove.
She was great at doing drugs in a hotel room.
That's right.
She was awesome.
I would argue she wasn't so good.
Nah, that's true.
By the way, the dress hasn't been washed since Marilyn wore it. There's still dirt on the bottom of it. If you look closely in photos, really? It's all dirty around the bottom. They never washed it. So now it's got Kim and Marilyn's sweat in there.
Nice. Well, one day when we go full Jurassic Horror Park, we get a little DNA off the dress and we create
from a drop of jizz. From a drop of Pete Davidson's jizz.
I don't want to get his DNA mixed up. That's where it turns into.
She looks great, but her cock is huge.
It turns into the fly at that point, yeah. Brian. What I'm saying is we get the DNA from Kim and Marilyn Monroe and a little Amber. Amber Heard.
Yeah.
And we put it and we create the ultimate whore for the future. So my kids have something to fuck. You know what I mean? I'm thinking about them. It'll be done. Oh, we could do it with dinosaurs.
Jurassic,
why can't we do it?
Horror Park.
Jurassic Horror Park. I'd buy that ticket. I'm not staying in the Jeep. I can tell you that right now.
Pete is hanging tough on a Kardashian, too. It's pretty impressive. It's usually a quick... I remember when it first happened, I was talking to friends who were like, he's a rebound. I was like, first off, I bet he's okay with that. I can't imagine him rolling off her and being like, this is bullshit. Mm-hmm. But second off, he's lasted. This is usually a you're in and out type of situation.
I think this is serious. I think I was watching TMZ last night, and he has like a little tattoo
of her kids.
Yeah.
Of her kids.
But is that just trolling Kanye at this point? Is he just trying to piss off Kanye? Like, you get the kids' names tattooed on you?
Kanye's been quiet lately.
Yeah, because a lot of people are telling him to shut up at these
days.
Yeah, I
mean, smart. Yeah, I get it.
He has their names
or their initials.
It's like Compass or something.
Yeah, like exactly. He's got like the letters of their name on his tattooed on him now, which is a bold move for a girl you've been dating for a few months.
But also, you know, he gets a good Uber driver. He's going to put his fucking name on his ass. You know, I mean, it doesn't take much to get him to do a tattoo. You know what I mean?
Last night. You know, she wears this iconic dress. He's just wearing like your average tuxedo. He was wearing like a tuxedo.
You can't show her up.
Yeah, right? But like you put him in, what do you put him in? Like a JFK tux or something like that? Like that's do something for him.
Put on a Joe DiMaggio jersey, then maybe have the sudden urge to smack her.
No, I think they're heading toward marriage. I have heard her interviewed. She's like, I don't date. I date with a purpose, you know? And I think
you guys see him getting married to Kim?
I think he would do it in 2 seconds.
Well, what does a prenup look like with someone who's worth, you know, $1 trillion? Like, you're gonna get out of there with the measly $278 million or something like that. I mean, a prenup when someone is a serious heavy hitter doesn't mean, okay, you'll keep the Camry. Mm-hmm. And the apartment in Van Nuys. Like, a prenup, this kind of prenup is he's getting millions if shit doesn't
Plus,
work.
Plus, he's
right?
about to be a lawyer. It's going to be rolling in after that.
That's right.
How about also, they had, like, Britney Spears. Her husband has, he apparently, didn't you see that thing? He was not happy with his prenup, which is like, it does feel weird to hear from a man.
Yeah.
Well, it does feel a little strange.
It also feels weird when she's worth, you know, $50 million. You're like, you're lucky that you're with her. Just sign the paperwork.
Mm-hmm. And it's not $50 million. I don't know how prenups. I don't think you can do a, like, I mean, I don't think people agree to a zero prenup. I think there's.
Yeah, it's an agreement.
Stratas. And I think he.
There's year marks and stuff. You get more if you get to the 5-year to the 10-year.
You have investments.
I like the guys who work blowjobs into the equation. Those guys. I got my birthday.
She clearly violated the terms of our prenup.
It was all the days of Hanukkah. All worked in. Yeah. Right. So I think they're getting married. That's what I would say.
I don't know. I think they're having a good time. I don't know if this is going to be marriage.
Well, he's getting kids tattooed on his neck.
I think he's trolling Kanye is what I think he's doing. More than anything, I think he likes to just poke the bear a little bit.
You can get a tattoo removed much more easily than get out of a marriage to Kim Kardashian, though.
Yeah, you
know?
Okay.
I don't know.
You think he's trolling Kanye?
Yes.
Yeah.
He loves this.
He's a comedian.
Yeah, he's
a comedian who's like, this guy is the worst. But I'm going to have my fun.
Doesn't it seem like Kanye could have like an episode where he hires somebody to kill him or something? Like, would you want to dance around that? You know, it's like he's like a alligator
he's the one with
shore.
Kim right now, so he's got the upper hand. He sent Kanye photos of him in bed with Kim.
All right.
So he's just like, I'm just going to keep pushing it. I'm the one in the winning spot right now.
I'd be horrible. I'd just be a lot of, let's leave him alone. No, I don't want the kids' tattoos. I don't want to know their name. I just want to use one of your many refrigerators.
The glass door.
Yeah, I'm gonna go into the walk-in cooler and actually just really think about my future here.
All right, you want me to move on to the next story here?
Yeah.
All right, for everyone who's thinking about staying at a Disneyland hotel, looks like Disneyland has agreed to pay $100,000 to a hotel guest. This is apparently back in 2008, this family stayed and got bed bugs. And according to their attorney,
back.
Yeah, it was
bitten. It was 08.
Say it again?
It was 08.
It was?
He just said it was 08.
Oh, 2018. Okay.
Oh, goddamn!
2018.
Get back to the LA Cool Drops.
Climbed in, according to this woman. She said she was bitten numerous times by bed bugs, suffered physical and emotional damage, and then got paid $100,000. By the way, her lawyer works for My Bed Bug Lawyer, Inc.
Oh, my. That's a real specialty.
That was the best part of the whole story
right
there.
That's Kim's new firm.
All of the – so they were all over New York, like, 15 years
ago,
right?
I never got them, but they were. Did you ever get them?
No, but a family member of mine did, and it was pretty crazy.
Everybody who's bitten by an insect while they're sleeping has long-term emotional distress because you do the math. You go, "When I woke up with this thing," and then you go, "Oh, it must have bit me while I was sleeping," and then you go, "Oh, it was fucking on me while I was asleep last night." And then you start to freak out.
Make me itch talking about it.
And then you got to do that weird move where you fluff the sheet next time you get into bed because you're like, what else is lurking?
But do you think this is a case of someone's trying to get money and Disney's just like, go away. I'm just going to pay
you $100,000. Well, $100,000 is nothing
for them. Go away.
I do check beds and I try to do that. And it's like the maids are doing a much worse job now because there's less money. And so you will put a light on your bed and you're like, oh, thank God, pubes, not a fucking bed bug, you know?
Now, do you go CSI with the Woods light, like the black light?
I don't know
there?
The black light, but I try to get a good look. I think you could see him. Maybe
bugs.
I'm wrong. I might be dumb. Maybe you can't see him at all.
I think you could see him.
I think.
Let's ask my bed bug lawyer.
Yeah.
I don't know how big bed bugs are. Are they visible to the naked eye?
I think you could, but you'd have to be looking at. I like this lawyer because I picture not many lawyers drive a van. I picture this guy has a van, my bed bug lawyer, with a giant bed bug on a spring, like on top. Like,
I picture Lionel Hutz.
Yes.
This is Saul Goodman with Down syndrome. We're going down.
That's right. To the lawyer.
All right, moving on. Amber Heard. People do not want her in the Aquaman sequel. So there are now over 3 million signatures among this whole Johnny Depp trial summary. But people are saying, we do not want her in the Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. This petition started back, oh God, back in 2020. It's aimed at DC and Warner Brothers. And people are just saying, please, God, do not let her do this sequel.
The petition should be against the person that started the petition. Like somebody said, I'm thinking about starting a petition to get Amber Heard out of Aquaman sequel. Okay, I'll be taking your kids, by the way, when I leave. Because obviously you have no priorities. This has become a thing for you. Like, who starts these
petitions? Who has time to do this stuff?
Also, she's got lawyer fees. Let her work.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie was okay.
The first one.
Yeah.
Now, we don't need a sequel, do we?
No.
You don't remember her from the movie. I was like, oh, she was in Aquaman? I didn't remember she was the girl.
She was his girlfriend in Aquaman?
Yeah.
Also, she's crazy. Yeah, she's an actress. Who do you think these people are?
Yeah.
They're fucking nuts.
Do you remember when she first came out, though, like when she started to get a little bit of buzz? Like, they really put a lot of gas behind that she was bisexual. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. That's right.
That was the big thing about her. Like, oh, she's bisexual. She's this hot bisexual chick. And that was like the big allure to her. Now you don't really hear much about that anymore at all.
Mm-hmm. But this Johnny Depp trial has been fascinating. All right.
Yeah, we don't put a lot of stock, or there's not a lot of stock in bisexual. I mean, it used to be kind of a weird fantasy thing for guys. Or I shouldn't say weird, just a straight fantasy thing. But I think it's kind of gone now. Like, the novelty's worn off. The bloom is off the rose. Like, that was a big thing.
Yeah.
It's a half fantasy. Like, she fucks a dude. It's not a fantasy. She fucks a woman. You're like, that's kind of cool, I guess. But
bisexual is not that impressive. Two sexes?
Yeah, I know. That's people.
That's all you got?
Yeah, I mean, people have three pronouns now. You're only fucking two different people. I got an extra pronoun on you.
Like, I said we. You're like, all right, you are cheating on me. That's,
yeah, kind of interesting that it was all a thing. Like, it was that chick's been with another chick.
Who was she with, too, at the beginning?
It wasn't Elon.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the chick that she was with. Oh, like,
I don't
know. A whole story.
Was there a girl she did? Was that out the girl she was hooking up with?
But I don't remember.
Kara.
No, I can't remember, but she was with someone.
Cara Delevingne.
Guys, this is like your whole job.
Right? I know.
Come on, step it up.
Years ago, though.
It started to repeat itself.
Literally.
Brian, ask me a question about a car. I'll tell you how this works.
The Apple car that you own. What year is that?
Oh, jeez, I don't know.
Well, you own it. I mean, you bought it. Probably with all the research on it.
I think it's either a Porsche or a Pinto.
It's on display in your warehouse. For God's sake, you've given it a number of tours.
I had a next question. Come on, this is all you fucking do.
You know what they should do with Aquaman 2? They should write her in as just a crazy person. They should just make the character so, like, she shits in the sea, and they're like, why would you do this? Why would you do this to me?
Well, she shits in Aquaman's bed. Like, she goes over to his kelp bed and takes a dump and then blames the dog. Blames the dogfish. They should loosely base it all
they
thing
should.
On the trial.
Jason Momoa just starts winning a lot of rings. You're like, what the hell's wrong
he
with this
He picks up a conch shell and throws it at her. He cuts his finger.
Now I'm going to watch Aquaman 2.
We get Neptune on a Zoom call to say how batshit crazy she is.
That's awesome. All right. One other thing from the Met Gala. Not a lot of, again, not so interested in the fashion. However, I don't know if you guys saw this, but New York Mayor Eric Adams, he walked out wearing a tuxedo with a big end gun violence on the back. It had basically scenes of New York.
It was
the
shot
Brooklyn
on the
Bridge,
subway after the show.
And then a gun with a big old red line through it.
That's a bold take to be against violence.
Especially the mayor of a large city.
Well, he's a cop.
he is just getting crucified on social media. People being like, number one, why are you at the Met Gala, which costs $35,000 a seat? And number two, shouldn't you be the one out there ending gun violence rather than just wearing it on the back of your outfit?
I don't know, dude. That jacket might help. I think people might look at the jacket like, oh, we're not supposed to do that. That's helpful.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, well, that, I mean, last year was AOC with the
taxes.
Tax the rich.
Yeah.
Thanks, bitch.
Yeah.
You've solved the deficit.
It and really is kind of annoying, though, right?
When people I saw a guy in a shirt that said, fuck racism, and you're like, problem solved. Well done. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for that one, dude.
Oh, that's my favorite genre of porn, by the way. So not so fast, hotshot. But yes, of course, what we don't like about it is it's the opposite of doing your job. Doing your job is whatever legislation, whatever patrols, whatever stop and frisk, whatever you got to do, broken windows, whatever, to fucking stop the gun violence in your city. And then this is grandstanding, and there's way too much of this. And all it does is remind us you're doing a shitty job at your job.
Oh, yeah.
And also, it's a weird trend now. Everyone has to show up with some sort of, you know, free the dolphins kind of thing on their jacket or their gown. I don't need it.
I'm going to wear an against baby rape shirt if I ever go to the Met Gala, just so they know I'm against it. To show I'm a hero.
I got one in the car.
You know, it's like, why can't New York get a good mayor? It's impossible. We hated de Blasio. What's weird is Anthony Weiner would have been our best mayor.
Yes.
How fucked up is that? If he just didn't send out dick pics, he could have saved our city.
Would have been awesome.
It would have been great.
Where is he now? He's back.
Probably doing a podcast or something.
Yeah.
he's a CNN correspondent. Yeah. I don't know what he's doing.
His girlfriend was there last night. I think his ex-wife came to the event with Mayor Adams. That was
Really?
Like, they're like somewhat together at the event.
There's like two sides of Jobs, and we're talking about Steve Jobs, and we're talking about him taking a dollar salary, you know, because there's a part of the job where you do your job if you're a high profile person.
Oh my God.
And then there's like an optics side of your job. So when you're Governor Gavin Newsom and you're telling all the little people to mask up, don't go to the fucking French Laundry with 28 of your closest friends and drink $35,000 worth of fucking red wine, you hypocritical douche. That's the part of his job. I'm not telling everyone to wear a mask, so I could go there, but that's not part of my gig.
Self-righteousness is gross.
There's an optics part where people are getting shot in your city every day. Don't do.
And you're walking a red carpet.
You're
right
walking
now.
The red.
The most opulent. Possible.
Right. Don't even be there. Is my answer.
It's you're trying to connect. It's very hard because there's a lot of tension in New York right now. And even when the woman was pushed on the subway in Times Square, and his soundbite was, it's just the perception of violence. I'm like, no, there's violence.
That's
That's actual. Yeah, someone's dead. So, you know, I ride the subway every night still, and it's like, it's different. I don't have my AirPods in like I used to, and you got to kind of just be guarded, you know?
Yeah, it's scary, the footage that's coming out of there. I would be, there was a mass shooting 2 weeks ago on there.
Yeah, and that was like a real rah-rah moment when they got him, because we're like, NYPD, that's what we do. And then it turned out he called himself in, and we're like, that's a little less of a climax, I guess. You know?
Yeah, he went to a McDonald's and dropped a dime on himself.
After Katz's Deli, he fucking did a Bam Bam.
Oh, really?
He did Katz's, then McDonald's. So he ate pretty well, and then he went to McDonald's.
Well, I guess he probably was going to do like a preemptive last meal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's the last meal before you go to the chair, but there's also the last meal before you eat shit on a shingle rest of your life. You know what I mean? That's my last meal.
Katz is always so packed, too. How did nobody recognize him? His photo was everywhere. Katz is, if you go there at 11 in the morning, once it opens, I was there recently. The place is jammed. No one recognized the guy being a weirdo.
They gave a description. They didn't want to give his ethnicity out because they thought that was a hate crime. So they go, guy wearing an orange construction vest. But I presume he took that off at some point.
Smart move.
So someone at Katz's did recognize him. They took a picture and put it on the wall next to Chaz Palminteri. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Really? You know? Did he get him to sign it?
No, that was shocking. And you know what's cool about New York is I remember taking the subway like 30 minutes later and everyone's like, this is what we do.
That it was funny. The description of him as he was wearing like an orange construction helmet and an orange construction vest, and it was like, be on the lookout for the guy wearing the orange. But I'm saying, like, if I committed a heinous crime and I was wearing a traffic cone on my head when I did it, I would fucking jettison the traffic cone before I got out of the subway, right? And then you guys are all looking for a guy with a traffic cone, and I'm just walking amongst you. So I think that was his plan. I would argue that that fucks people up more. Like, leave that part out of the fucking description. Yeah. He's wearing an orange vest and an orange construction. Yes, because he is posing as a construction worker to go down and kill people. And now that he's left and you guys are saying, look out for the guy in the orange mesh vest, I'll bet you that's in a fucking trash can. Up by the steakhouse at the top of the thing.
That's how he got away. He just took it off and went right on the next train, and people were like, oh, it's just a guy.
And we're told there's a heavyset guy with an orange helmet on, but you're not. I mean, you're heavyset.
Yeah. Orange helmet eliminates you.
You have a gun stuffed into your sweatpants, but we're looking for a guy with an orange hat. Yeah, more harm than good with that description.
Yeah.
Tattoos, fine.
Sure, but the best.
Unibrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Overbite. Looks like a retarded Elliot Gould. Like, that's helpful shit.
But Adam and I are just next to each other in a lineup like, this sucks.
Not again.
This really sucks.
But, like, wearing a fanny pack, not good. Because you just pop that off.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, clothing.
I should give out those APBs. I would find the Down syndrome celebrity you looked most like, and then... I would let the public go off on that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. All right. Got one last story for us. Mm-hmm. So Ulta Beauty, the big beauty brand, they are apologizing big time. They sent out a newsletter to customers.
Oh, this is uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. Really?
With a really poor headline.
First of all, it's poorly conceived to begin with, but go ahead.
So they're out there. They wanted to promote the brand's line of perfumes. So in the email they sent out Sunday, the headline was, Come Hang with Kate Spade. And if you remember, Kate Spade died. She tragically killed herself with the suicide by hanging.
Oh,
and so with the headline of Come Hang with Kate Spade, it didn't go over well with all the people receiving that. So they are now apologizing for the very insensitive email, saying, we didn't mean to.
Wow, that's an unfortunate selection of words.
Right? So uncomfortable. Well, how do you mess that up?
You know, they did the same one for David Carradine, but it was C-U-M hang.
That's right.
How does that make it through the marketing department? No one throws up a red flag. Not one person.
Well, what if they said chill with Kate Spade? Would that work? Or
that was confusing to me too.
She's dead.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Why would you even say, like, you're not going to be with her, obviously. Yeah. Let's just fucking ashes.
Sam, you should know, and I mean it, that I feel like David Carradine, A Life, you know, a very American tale, was snubbed. It was ruined in just a minute of him hanging in the closet with his dick out.
It's a bummer.
In the Philippines or wherever he was. And I've said many times, but I mean it, if I was the housekeeper that found him, I would have put him in a red, white, and blue gi, and I would have laid him on top of the bed, and I would have put nunchucks in his hands, and I would have went, that's how we found
him. That's a fucking man.
That's a man right there, all the way to the end.
Just wood chops.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even if it meant having to carry a red, white, and blue gi and nunchucks into every room I clean, just on the off chance.
She did that to Gilbert Godfrey, too.
Or maybe, it's not just David Carradine. Maybe I find Chuck Norris one day or somebody.
Your whole legacy down the drain with one just rope in a closet. Good God.
He was awesome in Kill Bill, too. That was a great.
Yeah, he was great. Except for, like, every once in a while, they used to do that. They do this thing where, like, he played Kung Fu, which is with monumental cultural appropriation.
Oh my God.
Of the day, with the accent and the eyes and the whole, like, he did the whole thing.
I was about to say they can never do that now, and then I was like, oh wait, Cobra Kai. I think they can.
So he was that guy, but he'd always do that thing where they, like, interview him. He played a kung fu expert on TV, but, like, Howard Stern would interview him in the 90s, and he'd go, could you take Mike Tyson? And he'd go, it kind of depends. You know? A street fight? Yeah, I could, I'd probably win. Traditional boxing? Yeah. Like, yeah, you played a kung fu guy with a stunt man, did all your shit. Everything was in slow motion. That was the big thing. And every episode started with him walking into just a tavern, and all he wanted was water. And at some point, they'd go, we don't like your kind here, Chinaman. That was the first guy to get his ass kicked every single time. And he'd always go, I seek peace. I want no problems. And they go, well, you found problems, Chinaman. And then he'd beat the shit out of them. He never wanted trouble.
That's
the trouble found
him. He ended up kicking the shit out of the town, every town he went to.
Have you seen the new Reacher on Amazon?
No. Oh no!
It's the same shit. It's the same shit. But it's, if you want to see just a bunch of dudes get the shit kicked out of them for no reason,
yes,
it's awesome.
But they never want to.
No, for guys who say they don't want trouble, trouble finds them very easily.
This dude's 6'6", and for some reason, every person's like, "You fucking pussy," and he's just like, "All right, I guess I gotta break your neck," but he doesn't even want to.
I felt the same way about Con Air.
Yeah,
when Nick Cage goes into the bar after leaving the Green Berets, and he's full military. He's decorated. He's a marksman. You know, he's like a Green Beret or something. And he walks in and he meets his fiance, and like the townies like come up to him like, hey, soldier boy. And he's like, I don't want any trouble. Like, you found trouble. It's like, the guy's a trained killer.
Yeah.
He's not wearing sweatpants and an orange construction helmet.
Yeah,
he is in full military with all the decorations that go along with it, and he's fit, and he's 20 years younger than you. Why are you so lippy with him?
Oh, same with the new Batman. They just, a bunch of dudes walk up to him like, you fucking pussy, Batman. Like, you guys don't know who Batman is?
I got an idea who Batman is. Batman will either kick your ass himself, or he's got something in his fanny pack that'll fucking do the job, right?
But he'll get rid of the fanny pack, so you won't be able to recognize him afterwards.
Yeah,
so.
You're right. Batman was just walking around, and a bunch of cholos got around. Like, you're such a pussy, Batman. Yeah. Like, you know nothing of his work. You've not seen any of the other episodes of
also,
Batman?
Even if you haven't heard of the guy, if a guy shows up dressed like that, you don't fuck with him.
Right? No, he's not dressed... Yeah, he's not dressed up like a clown. He's dressed up like the Dark Knight.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. Those guys would probably give
bad
him a
writing.
Pass.
This is the plot of Kick-Ass.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. It is. All right. Should we bring our news home? Or do
that
we
was
have
it.
An outro?
That was it. We're done with news.
Oh, well, we have an outro then.
I like long walks on the beach and chicks that don't poop in the bed.
Don't worry, Gina. Your job is safe. That was the news with Adam Glenn and Dax Holt.
Do you guys have thoughts about Amber Heard showing up in Aqua, dude?
Doing the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care about if she does the movie. I'm too invested in this court case right now because it's just the craziest shit you have ever heard being laid out in front of millions of people.
Yeah, and why you would put yourself – and now it's all in the public record now. It's like it's no longer he said, she said. No. There's a stenographer there. And then you have to get all your therapists up there to tell you what they really think.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because when you're just paying them, they're like, oh, yeah, it's all the bitch's fault. And now they're talking about you, and you have a split personality.
Yeah, can you imagine the worst shit you have ever done in your life as now being broadcast to everyone?
Yeah.
The time you shit in the bed and blamed it on a dog, everyone knows you shit in the bed.
It's like doing morning radio with Danny Bonaducci. The worst things he's ever done in his life. Couldn't wait to get to a microphone and tell everyone. You got a Ducci drop there, bro?
Danny's not doing well. You see, he's got some health problems.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was literally just talking to Mike August about him 2 days ago.
Did anyone hear
like,
about this?
I didn't see a story going around. That. I didn't read the story, but I did see it going
he's
around.
He's not being public. But amazingly enough, Danny is not talking about what's wrong.
Oh, well, that's how you know
that's
it's real.
That's how you know serious, yeah.
Wow.
I put up a picture from Twitter. He looks very frail.
Was
cane.
He in, is he still in Seattle doing radio?
He's taking time off radio, and he looks... Danny was jacked to shit when we knew he did a radio show with Danny. He was very muscular, and he looked withered.
Oh, wow.
He's
pretty unrecognizable.
Have, or do we know what he has?
As far as I know, he hasn't said.
Yeah, his sister says he's battling a mystery illness.
Is that a thing?
That so, just means they don't want to tell you what it is.
Sounds like a bad doctor.
Wow.
Guess what? It's a mystery illness.
All right. Well, we wish him well because I always liked the guy. Yeah. All right. Let me hit Geico last but not least. You like to save some money on your car insurance? Of course you would. Who doesn't love a deal? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners and condos and renters insurance, all at Geico, and you can save with their special discount. When you bundle Plus, they got the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance. So you switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Go to geico.com and get a quote today. All right, let's see. Whose paper am I missing here? Oh, that's right. Triple, I should say Trip Mickle, which could be Triple.
Yeah, could be short.
All right, I'm going to be in Indianapolis this weekend at Helium Comedy Club, and we'll be doing a couple shows, a couple live podcasts, and a couple live stand-up shows as well. Sam is going to be at the Beacon Theater coming up this Saturday, May 7th. And the documentary, Full Capacity, is going to be streaming on YouTube. Is it streaming yet, Sam, or now? Hey,
all my stuff is on my YouTube channel, so just go to youtube.com/Sam Morrell.
And Hollywood Raw is the name of the podcast with Adam and Dax as well. And we got the jobs book with Trip Mickle. Until next time, it's time for Trip and Sam and Adam and Dax and Brian. Say it. Mahalo. We don't like your kind here, Chinaman.
You can watch this episode of The Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see The Ace Man. Get them now at adamcarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance, they are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV, plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.